Welcome back to Kinda Funny Screencast. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Good morning.
The producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Dormammu.
Oh, it's back.
What'd you do with Dormammu?
Did you
come to bargain, Nick?
I've come to bargain.
I'm so happy to like him. I'm so fucking happy. Are you happy about that, big dog, Kevin Coelho?
Yeah, but Andy's focus is not on him. It's on his mic.
Yeah, it's weird.
You might have to hit the cancel, the button on the top.
All eyes on me. All eyes on me.
Thank you, Andy. I feel like this is just going to happen for the rest of our lives now, just inside references every chance you get, because this is the Kinda Funny Screencast, where each and every week we review the latest in TV and movies. And of course, anytime there is a Marvel Studios project, we're going to be right here reviewing it. You can get it on youtube.com/kindafunny or roosterteeth.com. You can also get it as a podcast. Just search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Screencast, and we'll be right there for you. If you want to get the show ad-free, you got to go to patreon.com/kindafunny, and you can do just that. Today we are talking about Marvel's What If Doctor Strange Lost His Heart Instead of His Hands. Nick Scarpino, I want to start with you. What'd you think?
I liked it. I like all these episodes. I think this was a different one, and obviously a much, much darker one. And there's that moment where he's sort of redoing it and trying to save her over and over again, which reminds me of the scene from Groundhog's Day where he's trying to, like, take care of the old man that just keeps dying, because that's just kind of... And then eventually the nurse is just like, you know, people die. That's just what happens. And this is just one of those moments, I guess, that's... I find the concept of, like, this absolute moment to be so interesting for what they can do with that as sort of like a boundary for all this time stuff that they're about to jump into. It's cool. This one wasn't necessarily my favorite, just because I think it was a lot more cerebral, but I really enjoyed it.
Andy?
I thought it was okay. I do love what Nick just mentioned and sort of setting a bit more rules, even though whenever stuff with time is messed with in the way that Tilda Swinton comes back and splits him into two. Now there's two Doctor Strange. I'm like, wouldn't the TVA have stepped in? Like, I don't know. It's like all that sort of stuff gets really confusing to me, but I just choose to ignore it because I know that there's probably an explanation for it. I mean, guys, like, it's been 10 years since the Family Guy episode where they're doing a time travel episode and Brian says, it's not about where we are, it's about when we are. And Stewie goes, ugh, a time travel joke, really? And, like, we're still using that line today. Come on, Marvel. Like, we got to be better than that. We got to just stop using that line. All pop culture, stop using the when we are. We got to stop doing that. The whole sort of, I mean, where does this go from here? I think that's the most interesting thing about this episode for me. But overall, I thought it was a fine episode.
You know, I think, first of all, it reminded me a lot of Time Machine, right? The old movie about time traveling, old book, where it's like he's trying to save his wife, but no matter what he does, he can't save her. I think the biggest issue I have with What If is it feels like it kind of makes up rules for whatever story it's trying to tell. And I don't like that. I feel like this episode was fine. It was fine because it's cool to see these characters going on another adventure. But the biggest issue is that it doesn't seem super well thought out. And it's just, I feel like, have we talked about absolute points before? Because, like, I feel like they define time traveling a big deal in this universe, where, like, great, they're using an Infinity Stone to time travel. That's possible. But now it's like, no, causality will still collapse the same way. Like, that seems like an arbitrary rule that, like, they made up for convenience. And then it's like, oh, and if you fuck with it too much, everything just turns into weird black goop. It's like, all right. That seems like, I guess the more I think about it, I don't know that I like this episode. I think that it has some things in it that are entertaining. But I think overall, I don't like, I guess in this dimension, and how time works there. Is it different throughout? I don't like the questions it's bringing up for the greater MCU. And it, like, the more I look back, the more I kind of feel that. I feel that every episode so far has points where it feels rushed. And it's like, you can be like, oh, that's because it's 30 minutes. It's like, well, if you created a medium that's only a certain length, you should engineer the story so it can be told that way without having to do a fast forward scene where they do. And I think every episode so far has done that. Maybe not the last one, the Avengers Die. But I don't know. I just, yeah, I guess it's What If is losing me a little bit.
This episode is brought to you by Babbel. When you're traveling to a destination where you don't know the language, it can be challenging to accomplish even the simplest of tasks. Tell me that isn't true. You know, there's one time I remember I was in Bali and I was very overwhelmed, not understanding what was going on. And that could have easily been solved if I had Babbel in my life back then. Thankfully, there's Babbel, the number one selling language learning app. Babbel is a travel essential. Greg Miller's been learning a little French here and there so he can better communicate with one Genevieve Saint-Ange Miller. You know what I'm talking about? Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Pretty cool. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. So that's 6 months for the price of three. Just go to babbel.com and use promo code MORNING. That's BABBEL.com, code MORNING. Babbel, language for life. Next up, shout out to HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Fall is busy, but HelloFresh recipes save time you'd otherwise spend meal planning, shopping, and chopping, so you can get back to what matters. HelloFresh's family-friendly menu is a big win for back-to-school season with easy, delicious recipes for drama-free dinners. So many members of Kinda Funny have been loving HelloFresh, including Kevin Coelho and Paula Coelho. She's a vegetarian. He's not. Guess what? There's options for both. It's great. So much cool stuff. You can go to HelloFresh.com/morning14 and use code morning14 for up to 14 free meals, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/morning14 and use code morning14 for up to 14 free meals. Very cool. Go check that out now. One more time. HelloFresh.com/morning14 and use code morning14 for up to 14 free meals and free shipping. And finally, shout out to MeUndies. It's fall, y'all. Replace those hydration stations with pumpkin spice lattes and go out of your way to step on crunchy leaves because the coziest time of the year has arrived. I love MeUndies. I'm obviously wearing a MeUndies shirt right now, MeUndies lounge pants, MeUndies undies, and MeUndies socks because that's the type of life that I live. I just love their soft micromodal fabric and I want it all over my body. MeUndies, can you make some bomber jackets? Please, I want them very, very bad. Imagine the softest thing you've ever felt. Now imagine that's the thing on your butt. That is MeUndies. They're designed by the country's top softness scientists to be the softest thing you've ever worn, period. It's so true, I can attest. To get 50% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning to get 15% off and free shipping for first-time purchasers. And if you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, they'll refund or exchange it. No caveats, no questions. MeUndies.com/morning. One more time, MeUndies.com/morning. Yeah, this is definitely my least favorite episode. I'd say it's tied with episode one as my least favorite, but I still really, really enjoyed it. I like that it's continuing the trend of doing something different with each episode structure-wise, with this one kind of being more Black Mirror, Twilight Zone, and ending in a very, very, very negative space. Like, I definitely didn't expect that. I thought things were going to be wrapped up in like kind of clean bow tie shit at the end of it. So I thought it was a cool kind of difference, especially now that there is this like Sorcerer Supreme, like evil strange out there, and whatever's happening with that situation, whether he's like dead or locked in a pocket dimension, how can he come back, all that stuff. Like, I think that's cool, but I think what's really cool is how this episode used the Watcher and it kind of breaking where Strange was able to interact with him and all that. I'm with Andy in the sense that time travel can get really complicated and difficult, and the rules and stuff can get, they're very interesting to follow, and I'm very heavily invested and care about them a lot. But I think where we're at right now, there's a lot of questions that are unanswered that start to feel frustrating because we do know so much. And when they add all these other elements, it's like, what are you doing? This is contradicting what we already know. But I think What they're doing now is doing that on purpose, knowing we just watched Loki, knowing that we're questioning where the TVA is, because we're now dealing with a timeline that is in a multiverse world. This isn't no longer just the one sacred timeline that was protected by the TVA. So I think all the rules are changing. I think we're trying to dealing with that now. Even the idea of this absolute point is extremely fascinating, extremely cool, but the absolute point is still only working within this multiverse timeline, because we know that Christine Palmer doesn't die in our timeline. So it's like the absolute point, what is it? Is it her death, or is it the event that causes Strange to go do something else? Where, so in our timeline, it was him messing up his hands, right?
Right.
So it's like, that's what I think is really interesting, is them kind of like dialing in on exactly what that absolute point is. And I think their use of Tilda Swinton in this is hinting at that for sure, that they understand what they're doing here and they are adding more elements. I do agree it's starting to become a lot, and I think that they need to start getting all of this together in a way that's like, okay, now I understand how this multiverse works. But I think that they're building towards that with how we've seen the Watcher get more and more involved each episode. Like, that's a trend that's happening. So clearly they're building to something. We're seeing the same monster from the first episode come back in this. Like, there is an overarching narrative forming, and I think that that is going to answer a lot of, if not all of, the questions we're having now. Andy Cortez.
I hope so, because, you know, we're talking about us three who seem to be a lot more confused with it than maybe Nick was. But, like, the idea that we watch these week to week, and the idea that, you know, we'll watch videos on it from time to time, and if we're confused, like, I guess that's not saying much. I'm always confused, right? But, like, the fact that we are confused, I cannot imagine the casual audience who might just be hopping into What If, maybe didn't watch Loki, maybe watched WandaVision, but only a couple episodes. Like, not everybody's going to be watching every bit of everything, and it just seems like confusing the people that watch it week to week and seem to be somewhat dialed in are kind of a bit murky on what is what. Maybe that's the point. I trust Marvel enough to think that maybe that's the point right now. Maybe we're supposed to feel this way because there is going to be some bigger reveal in the future. But even now, I just, like, the episode ended and I just felt like, I guess, confused and kind of like, I don't really know if I loved everything that episode was trying to pull off.
See, the thing with me is I think there's two ways to look at the episodes, and I think that overall all of them are working, because what you're talking about is just one aspect, which is the kind of overarching plan of the season, the show, and the MCU as a whole. But then there's also the, does it just work as a standalone episode? And I think that so far all of them have, including this one, where a lot of the absolute point and all this shit that we're like, quote-unquote confused about, is irrelevant if you're just enjoying the plot of this episode, which I thought was actually really tight and interesting and unexpected. Like, they really did things and went places. Like, him sucking in all the bad guys turned, like, and the way that this all went, it felt like a good Twilight Zone episode. So it's like, that to me was really cool. And some of the animation in this, I know the show has been beautiful from the get-go, but, like, I think this might be the most beautiful episode so far. It's definitely the most uniquely animated episode. And dealing with a lot of the kind of creature designs, it was so un-MCU, but it worked. Like, it fit with this aesthetic. And seeing Strange kind of, like, contort and form over time into being this, like, Mephisto looking motherfucker, like, was really damn cool. And I like that we can do this weird stuff, and that is something that animation kind of grants you that you don't get necessarily to do in live action and have it work this seamlessly. So I'm really impressed with it. And, like, the voice cast, once again, like, I was shocked. I didn't expect Benedict Cumberbatch to be in this. I thought he would have been one of the ones to not be part of it. And Rachel McAdams, like, what the actual hell?
Oh, I did not realize all that. That's really cool. There was a couple of moments I went, I know this is Benedict Cumberbatch, but maybe I read it wrong, because I'm getting some Troy Baker vibes here and there. And it sounds like Troy Baker doing a Benedict Cumberbatch impression. And by the way, I feel like they made Benedict Cumberbatch look more human in the cartoon than he does in real life, which is, like, shout out to the animation team. Great job to them.
No, but I'm with you, Tim. Like,
go for it, Nick.
I was just going to say that that's probably why I enjoyed the episodes, because I'm not, you guys are a lot more, I think, these the rules that get bent or broken, I think, affect you guys a lot more than me. I just kind of sat back and was like, okay, well, I did have the thought of the TVA for a hot second. I did have the thought of the multiverse. And I was like, that's really complicated. I'm just not going to think about it. I'm going to turn my brain off and just watch this what if. Mostly because I don't feel like these matter in the overarching world of the MCU, which is fine. But I did love that moment with the Watcher where he's like, you could stop all this. And he goes, I can't do shit. Like, there's nothing I could do. He didn't say that, though.
He said, I'm not going to save this one universe.
Right.
Which is like, he cares about the multiverse.
Also, yeah. Earlier, there was the moment where he's like, I could say something now, but that would put the whole multiverse at risk or something along those lines.
But then Strange heard him. He was like, what? Who said that? That was a rad point because he was, I assumed it was that because he was so powerful that he was getting so powerful that he could actually hear the Watcher. That's crazy.
Yeah, the idea that we're going to keep on getting more and more Jeffrey Wright, and the fact that we're seeing more and more of what the Watcher looks like, and seeing how, you know, based on what it looks like in the comics, they're going pretty somewhat accurate with it. Not quite as large on the cranium, but still a big old dome up there. I love that we're getting more and more involvement, and that's the part that's exciting me probably the most, is that we're going to get more Jeffrey Wright in there. And he's going to be interacting with these characters more and more as stuff starts to get more and more messed up. Because, I mean, obviously he's a great actor, and I just love hearing his voice.
What's cool, too, is the voice cast. I'm looking at Wikipedia of everyone that was actually in it. And I mean, like, it was pretty much everyone. I don't think there was anybody we are familiar with that wasn't voiced by who we know them as. Like, Benedict Wong was Wong. Tilda Swinton was the Ancient One. Rachel McAdams was Christine Palmer. Benedict Cumberbatch was Strange. And Dormammu, just like the movie. And then what's interesting for me, there's two things. One, there was a cameo, Leslie Bibb, who was the news reporter in Iron Man 1 and 2.
I saw her name in the beginning of it, and I was like, wait, where was Leslie Bibb?
I need to Google her.
She was the news reporter, which is very funny. Like, that is such a dumb little Easter egg. The girl that slept with Tony Andy in Iron Man 1 and then came back in 2 and like was out.
She's the wife in Talladega Nights, right?
Yeah.
And another thing that was interesting about this is, and Kev, correct me if I'm wrong about this, but this is the first time that What If's introduced like a new character, a new Marvel character in the show with that Oben character that led him to Cagliostro's books and stuff. Like, that's Strange character from the comics.
That's cool. So, yeah, that I like thinking offhand.
I don't remember if he was in Doctor Strange. Right. I don't think he was. But
no, I don't think he was at all.
Anyway, I thought that was really cool. And again, this is cool because I didn't see this episode coming. Like, I love that when it started, it's like, okay, I knew it was Doctor Strange. And I also love that they did the thing where it's like, let's get through the whole first movie quickly before we have our own adventure. Because I think that format works better than what we saw with the Captain Carter one. That's kind of like a little bit more beat for beat throughout it all. Like, this reminded me more of the Star-Lord formatting, but just with a way darker tone to it. So, yeah, pretty cool. Only got five more of these because there's nine total. So
that's exciting. I like
that. We'll see how it all goes. Yeah. Let us know in the comments below what you thought about this episode of Marvel's What If, and what you think the Watcher's up to. What's he watching right now? Let us know in the comments.
Ew, I'm guessing Nick.
I think he's on season 3 Nick. Of Psych. He stopped watching me a long time ago, man. I think I was like, whoa. I've seen a lot of shit.
That's enough of that. That's enough of that.
Until next time. See you guys. Love you guys. Bye.